Oh, the solar, here we go, the solar eclipse. So if you haven't seen this, I thought we'd start with the actual video. Now, who hasn't seen this video? This was a solar eclipse on the, on the 22nd of July this year. Hands up if you haven't seen it before. Most of you, okay. You don't need to see the... Oh, actually, it probably wouldn't hurt. How are we going for time? We'll see it from the start. Yeah, that is the start, okay. Now, there's about... In India, across India, China. Yeah, I'll explain all that when you've seen it. There's not too much, might be a bit of light coming there. There's three or four different video clips you can get on the internet that are different. This is the first one I saw. I've got a few clips at home. Now, in case you can't see that very well, that is the shield, the Magen David, the shield of David, or the Star of David. It's the Star of David. And I think that 99% of the world wouldn't even recognize what it was. This was the longest eclipse, and the one the year before it as well, were two of the longest eclipses in many, many hundreds and hundreds of years. So there's a bit, I think actually there's a bit more on that, but you get the message there. First of all, an incredible Star of David and an eclipse. Well, what's so great about that? Well, I just want to briefly touch on some of the things. If we look in Joel, just turn to Joel, if you've got it there in front of you. If someone would just want to quickly turn to Joel 2:31 and just read it out, please. Whoever gets there first. Joel 2:31. Yep.
The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come.
Yeah. Now, we often, I guess, with our Western and scientific mindset, you know, we look for more than maybe we need to, or we should think. The sun being turned to darkness, we're probably looking for some really weird sign. Why couldn't it just simply refer to a solar eclipse? You know, why couldn't it? And then we turn to Luke 21, the one I have got up there, Luke 21, verses 7 to 11, and he mentions there, again, talking about end times, great signs from heaven. So what could those signs be? Well, this particular sign, last year, in 2008, on the Jewish calendar, the 1st of Av. Now, in case you're not familiar with the Jewish, that's the fifth month of the Jewish lunar calendar, and the 9th of Av is the most feared day in the Jewish calendar, because that's the day when all these catastrophes happen, the destruction of both the temples. There's about five famous things that happened on that day. So the 9-10 days from the 1st to the 9th are a very significant time of mourning in the Jewish calendar that starts on the 1st of Av. So in 2008, there was a solar eclipse on the 1st of Av. This year it was the 22nd of July. What it was in 2008, I don't know, but this year it was the 22nd of July. So on the 1st of Av in 2008 was a total solar eclipse, not a partial. On the 1st of Av in 2009 was this solar eclipse with the Star of David, the Shield of David in it. And next year, a third time, on the 1st of Av will be a total solar eclipse. Coincidence? Well, before we look at some other dates with that, there was this thing called, when you see that light, it used to be called the diamond ring, because in just about every total solar eclipse, as the moon starts moving away, or even if it starts finally getting into position, you tended to get a ball of light, a ring of light around it, and a single ball of light thought of like looking like a diamond ring. And you got about the 17th century, a guy saw a number of these series of smaller balls and called it Bailey's beads, is what it's at. If you look it up on the internet, Bailey's beads. But in every case that I could find, and I'm not saying it's not there because, you know, you can't spend forever searching for this stuff, I could not find another time when it's a star of David. Now, what is the physics? And I've asked some physicists' friends, haven't got back to me yet, if they can explain the physics behind this, but the physics behind the balls we understand, because the topology of the edge of the moon, the valleys and the mountains and the edge of the moon make it, you know, a bit irregular, so the light shines more brightly through certain places, and that's why you get those balls or that large one. But how, just from the valleys and ridges in the moon, you get the Star of David, just doesn't seem possible. Now, it may be physically possible, and I don't have a major problem with that, but I don't think it is. So what's that actually telling us? I think it's actually a number of things. I think at the most basic level, it's a sign of comfort to Israel. In a time of mourning, it's a sign of comfort. In a time when they're mourning and fearing what's going to happen this year on the 9th of Av, perhaps, here's a sign that's a sign of comfort to Israel. So I think that's the first, to me, the crucial thing about it. And it's a sign in the heavens that most of the world won't see. That certainly the anti-Semitic, you know, majority of the Christian world won't see this as relevant. If you go on the web, you'll hear lots of people trying to argue, oh, it's a cultic sign, you know, it wasn't the shield of David. Oh, by the way, where do we think it came from? It depends who you listen to, but David's name in Hebrew is Dalet Vav Dalet, and the Dalet looks like a triangle, or the two letters, a bit like a seven, and if you put it across there, you've got a triangle, and so the Vav is used as an end. When you say Rebecca and Sarah, or Abraham and Sarah, you put the Vav in front of the second name, and that counts as an end, so it's a bit like a D and D, and so you take the triangle and you sit it down and take the other one, I should have done the graphic of this, bring it up and you end up with that symbol. And the belief amongst some that in David's time when he went out into war, into battle, he had that symbol painted on the shields and stuff, and so fear was struck into the enemies because of that symbol in war, when the other people they fought against would have had their dragons or whatever on their shields. So that's an argument, you know, whether that's true or not, but certainly it's recognised today, it's on the flag of Israel and so on, and it's on my shirt, so it's certainly recognised as a symbol of Israel. So I see at the very basic level that is a comfort to Israel, because potentially we have a great catastrophe coming. The time of Jacob's trouble we haven't seen yet, you know, when it could happen. We had mentioned Psalm 83. I think Psalm 83 will be fulfilled, and when it is fulfilled, you know, it could usher in that time, and that's going to be a great conflict. So perhaps, you know, there's something to come. Now, you probably all know, if you haven't, you should get a copy of Frank's book, but Frank's suggesting an interesting date that's now only 3 years away. In the back of his book, he's got a chart, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't know who's right and wrong, and that this certainly fits more, this chart to me fits more biblically than what I'm about to suggest to you, but they both may be fit. And in this chart, he's got something special happening in 2011, 2012. Well, if you look at the just briefly also, some people argue that a solar eclipse is designed as a warning to Gentile nations and a lunar eclipse designed for Israel, and they get that out of the way they interpret passages like that one, but I'll leave that up to you. But this is what I was going to suggest. This guy, if you search on the internet for Mark Biltz, he did it. You can look up all the NASA charts for lunar eclipses, and he said, no, as far as he was aware, no one had ever matched them with the Hebrew date calendar, just with a normal date calendar. And I checked them out. So I went and did them myself, because you shouldn't, even if people give you the charts and you can look at his charts, you want to check it out for yourself. Well, intriguingly, in 2014, we have a lunar eclipse on the 15th of Nisan, that's, if you didn't recognise, Passover, and on Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, on October the 8th, in 2015, again on the same day, and on the 15th, which is also Sukkot, same time, and in 2015, on September the 13th, the Eve of Yom Terah. If any of you have read my article on Yom Terah, the Feast of Trumpets, my argument is that Yeshua will return on that day. The day at the beginning of the 10 days of war, the day at the beginning, 10 days later we have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I believe Yeshua will come back on that day some year in the future. Just so happens that a solar eclipse will occur on the eve, which is in fact really the beginning of Yom Teruah. So there's some interesting stuff there, and you know, nothing definite about it, but maybe points to 2015. There's some other very good reasons in Frank Books and other words to think it might be sooner than that. But regardless of that, I think that solar eclipse was very significant. I think it was a miraculous sign from God, and I think if nothing else, it is a comfort to Israel. So anyone got any questions on that?
Yeah.